The January jobs numbers are out from the U.S. Labor Department, and while many were bracing for a possible thud in the market due to the partial government shutdown, the news turned out to be not so bad. So did the shutdown not have the ripple effect the Congressional Budget Office estimated it would, or are we still waiting for the other shoe to drop? To dig into the numbers, we're joined now by Mark Hamrick, Senior Economic Analyst for Bankrate.com. Mark, good morning.
Good to be with you, gentlemen.
So how surprising are these numbers?
Well, there are positive surprises to the extent that obviously the payrolls number came in much better than expected at 304,000. You know, the previous month of December, previously reported month of December, had come in rather red hot as well at 312,000. And so that did get revised down to 222,000. I think the main takeaway about what's been happening on a monthly basis is we still have a very respectable three-month average of 240,000+ jobs being added a month. And I like the way that you framed the question at the outset of this about the Congressional Budget Office's estimate of the impacts of the partial government shutdown, because I think longer term, that is an issue to give some thought to. The reality is that they are two different things entirely. And so, you know, the main takeaway from that was that essentially there was $3 billion worth of economic output that was destroyed, and that'll never be recaptured. This report can't capture that exactly, but what we do know is that there were 500,000 workers in the private sector who are working part-time but would have liked to have had full-time work during this month, and that the increase in the unemployment rate for the month of January is explainable by the partial government shutdown.
Well, so you mentioned that the December numbers were revised downward. Do you anticipate that next month we'll find out that maybe January's numbers weren't as good as we think they are right now?
It's always a possibility, but the reality is that there is essentially a margin of error on these reports that are almost equal to the total number overall. And so what you really tend to see on the revisions is that if there is a sea change in the economy, the revisions tend to point you in that direction, meaning let's say that just, you know, for the sake of discussion, that the economy were to slow even more than might be expected here in the coming months, then you would tend to see downward revisions beginning that would basically take away the strength that was previously inferred or captured by the report. But, you know, that's the whole aspect of, you know, like the Super Bowl, needing to play the game. We need to get these reports out and see what the data actually has. And, you know, Wall Street, you know, has many, many people trying to work to get ahead of the actual releases and make the estimates. But the reality is that that's why we need the reports to come out, because we need to see what the actual data says.
Mark, wage growth had been lagging. Then we saw a couple of months where it seemed like wage growth was sort of catching up and growing a bit. It has slowed significantly, it seems, with this latest report. What are you watching for there?
Well, first of all, there we know that I think in about 20 localities across the country that we had increases in the mandatory minimum wage, while essentially those state and local governments have done the work that the federal government previously had done in the sense of raising the federal minimum wage. So that obviously helps people at the lower end of the wage spectrum. This may well have been distorted by the partial government shutdown as well, so I think we want to kind of get beyond this and, assuming that there isn't a shutdown here in the middle part of this month, see how the next report looks. But, you know, if indeed we do start to see a slowdown in that, then that could be part of a slowdown in the broader economy story as well. But, you know, with the payrolls gains that we've been seeing, it's not really explainable to basically link one to the other. So that's why I kind of want to wait and see what happens down the road.
Mark, you mentioned the difference between sort of the economic impact overall to the government shutdown and the jobs impact. Do you anticipate that when we look at February numbers, we will see any impact, assuming, again, that there isn't a shutdown, as you said, in a few weeks? Is this sort of the extent to the impact of the shutdown, that to the extent there was one, or do you think that in the terms of jobs, there might still be effects down the road?
Well, I think, for example, that the unemployment rate rose in this January reading. We may well get that restored in the following report, meaning that that sort of whipped the number around a little bit, and so that's the measurement part. So I like to try to remind people that we're talking about the attempt to capture what's happening in the economy, which you know, is an animal in and of itself, and the tone of these reports, which are quite credible and, you know, very respectable civilian employees, you know, helping to crunch the numbers, but they're not perfect, and that it's an almost Herculean task trying to measure what's going on the job market across these various metrics. So there's no doubt to me that we had some impacts that showed up in this report from the partial government shutdown. Also, perhaps a not universally appreciated aspect is that there are annual seasonal adjustments that occur in the January reading as well, meaning it's just an attempt to get the statistics right. And now that that benchmark has been reset for the coming 12 months, then that should, let's say, remove at least one potential for volatility for the next report we get down the road.
All right. That's Mark Hamrick, Senior Economic Analyst for Bankrate.com. Mark, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Good to be with you as well. Thanks so much.